This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 531 of the genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. After 58 days of a so-called ceasefire in Gaza, during which Israel violated its agreed-upon terms hundreds of times, including killing more than 150 Palestinians, refusing to allow in critical fuel, water, infrastructure, housing materials, heavy machinery, and medications, and then sealing the crossings for more than 2 weeks, Israel's military resumed widespread and relentless attacks on Palestinians in Gaza, beginning in the early hours of Tuesday morning. In the first few hours of the bombings, artillery fire and drone strikes on residential areas and sites sheltering displaced families, Israel killed more than 400 Palestinians, half of them children, in what Defense for Children International Palestine called, quote, one of the largest one-day child death tolls in Gaza in history. Ayad Abu Akhtesh, a program director with the children's rights group, added that, quote, Israeli forces have signed a death warrant for Palestinian children in Gaza as they carry out nonstop attacks, continue to destroy civilian infrastructure, and prevent any humanitarian aid from reaching Palestinians in need. This is nothing short of a genocide. Our senior editor, Maureen Claire Murphy, wrote in her report, Israel Resumes Genocidal Attacks on Gaza, Killing 400, that, quote, Israel also ordered the evacuation of areas of eastern Gaza near Jabalia in the north and Khan Yunis in the south. The strikes appear to signal Israel's withdrawal from the negotiations process to permanently end the war in Gaza. The ceasefire was supposed to allow for a surge in humanitarian aid, Maureen adds, but Israel ordered the closure of Gaza's crossings more than 2 weeks ago, creating a new food crisis in the territory, where people have endured deprivation of life essentials such as electricity, fuel, adequate food, and clean water since October 2023. Because of the intensified siege, medical workers have been reporting that floods of injured men, women, and children were brought to hospitals and clinics, but there are still few basic medications or supplies to treat them. Dr. Mohammed Mustafa, an Australian physician working in Gaza, posted this video to his Instagram account just hours after the bombings began early Tuesday morning.
We've worked throughout the entire night. We haven't stopped. The bombing has been nonstop. We've run out of ketamine, we've run out of propofol, we've run out of all painkillers. We can't sedate anyone, we can't give them any analgesia. When we intubate people, they wake up and they're choking because we have no sedation. There are 7 girls getting their legs amputated, no anesthesia. The bombing is still going on. The room is still shaking. I haven't slept. We went to bed at about 1 o'clock, and at 1:30 the bombing started. It's about 10 a.m. now. I've just gone back to my room. I'm lightheaded. I'm dizzy. It was just mostly women and children, burnt head to toe, limbs missing, heads missing. You know, there's a video I put up on my story of me doing a chest drain. The gentleman that did the chest drain, and he died on the way to the CT scan. There's another video of 3 girls laying on a bed. That's his 3 girls who are now orphaned. Their mother didn't even make it into the hospital. She was killed along with their other sister. I don't know what to tell you. I was here in June. Nothing to this intensity. This is unbelievable. And the bombing is still going on. The rooms are still shaking. The screams are everywhere. It's insane. I need to just take 15 minutes or even an hour just to rest, to go back in there and go back down again. I feel awful to leave, but I've been there all night and I haven't stopped, and my legs are shaking and I feel dizzy and lightheaded. The smell of burnt flesh is still in my nose.
Uh, The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza reported that along with 404 Palestinians killed on Tuesday alone, more than 560 people were injured, and a number of victims were still under the rubble. The Palestinian Civil Defense, which has few recovery tools available to them as Israel has bombed their emergency vehicle fleet over the last 18 months, worked hard to pull people out of the rubble. On Wednesday, the Health Ministry's Director of Field Hospitals, Marwan Al-Hams, told Al Jazeera that, quote, anyone who sustains a serious injury in the Gaza Strip is doomed to die due to the lack of resources. As we reported last week, Israel had shut off the last remaining electricity access for a key water desalination plant in Deir al-Balah, creating a deeper scarcity for clean drinking water. Al-Hams said that the water shortage poses, quote, a particular danger to kidney patients. In an interview with Al Jazeera Arabic, Dr. Mohammed Abu Salmiya, the head of Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, who was abducted by Israeli forces in November 2023 and detained and tortured in an Israeli prison camp for 7 months, described the situation as catastrophic. He said that on Tuesday morning, quote, there were 50 bodies at the emergency department and another 30 at the morgue refrigerator. Operation rooms were full and many injured people have died in front of our eyes while we couldn't treat them. He added that the health system in northern Gaza has largely collapsed with only one oxygen generator, one CT scanning machine, and one X-ray machine. And there are shortages of medicines and consumables such that the exhausted medical teams had to wash and sterilize gauze to use it again. Some casualties were brought to the hospital by animal carts, and the hospital received several cases of amputees as well as beheaded bodies and those that had been torn apart, Dr. Abu Salmiya added. The United Nations stated that the Israeli military issued forcible evacuation orders for areas in North Gaza and eastern Khan Yunis. In total, 19 neighborhoods were directly affected, including 13 in North Gaza and 6 in eastern Khan Yunis, affecting an estimated 30,000 and 35,000 people, respectively, the UN said. Israeli bombing attacks continued across Gaza on Wednesday and into today, killing more than 100 Palestinians in a 24-hour period. In Khan Yunis on Wednesday, an Israeli drone strike killed a 2.5-year-old child, identified as Omar Qasim Talab Abu Sharkiya. A reporter with the Wafa news agency said that the toddler was rushed to a nearby hospital with a head wound, and medics pronounced him dead shortly after he arrived. In Rafah, a paramedic told Al Jazeera that Israel targeted a car transporting civilians from one place to another. He told the network that, quote, we were horrified to see that there were 5 martyrs inside the vehicle, burned and dismembered. This is what Rafah is experiencing around the clock, the medic said. Rafah remains a dangerous place where bombings occur daily in border areas. Additionally, targeting and gunfire continue nonstop. In the northern city of Beit Lahia, an Israeli airstrike killed at least 16 Palestinians, Wafa reported on Wednesday. Their reporter said that Israeli warplanes bombed a group of mourners who had gathered to grieve a family that had been slaughtered and offer condolences to their surviving relatives. Other bombings were reported in Gaza City and in central Gaza on Wednesday. Last night, Al Jazeera's reporter Tarek Abu Azoum said that there was a, quote, brutal escalation of airstrikes in the southern Gaza Strip, particularly in Khan Yunis and Rafah. At least 10 homes were leveled to the ground, and more than 10 Palestinians were killed, including young children. He said, quote, we can see now this is a clear surge in airstrikes at such a very critical time when these houses are very densely populated with civilians. Meanwhile, the Israeli army announced that it had repositioned its tanks and ground troops back into parts of the Netzarim corridor, from which they had withdrawn in February under phase one of the ceasefire. The Guardian reported that according to unnamed Western Aid officials, a private security company that had been manning checkpoints in the Netzarim area withdrew overnight, and Israeli troops in armored vehicles, tanks, and on foot moved in at dawn on Wednesday. Traveling from north to south Gaza is now impossible, the unnamed Western officials said. Just days before Israel resumed the mass-scale genocide, 9 people, 3 of them journalists, were killed in an Israeli drone strike targeting a relief team in Beit Lahia, northern Gaza, on Saturday. The team was on the ground to help set up tent shelters for displaced families, according to the head of the Al-Kheir Foundation, a British charity that sponsored the relief team. They were filming the aid efforts for the charity, and it was a, quote, purely humanitarian mission, the charity's leader said. Meanwhile, the United Nations Independent International Commission of Inquiry on Palestine concluded that Israel's sexual and gender-based violence against Palestinians is systemic and widespread and amounts to war crimes and crimes against humanity. The commission's report also states that Israel has been responsible for acts of genocide in Gaza since October 2023. The Geneva-based Euromed Human Rights Monitor said that, quote, the long-standing impunity enjoyed by Israel, which has enabled it to continue its systematic crimes against Palestinians, must end immediately due to the seriousness of the report's contents. The report found that sexual and gender-based violence, which has risen in frequency and severity, is being perpetrated across the occupied Palestinian territory as a strategy of war for Israel to dominate and destroy the Palestinian people, according to a statement by the UN Human Rights Office. Specific forms of sexual and gender-based violence, such as forced public stripping and nudity, sexual harassment, including threats of rape, as well as sexual assault, comprise part of the Israeli security forces' standard operating procedures toward Palestinians, the UN says. Other forms of sexual and gender-based violence, including rape and violence to the genitals, were committed either under explicit orders or with implicit encouragement by Israel's top civilian and military leadership, the report said. A climate of impunity also exists with regard to sexual and gender-based crimes committed by Israeli settlers in the West Bank, with the aim of instilling fear into the Palestinian community and expelling them. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of The Smell of Death Returns in Gaza by Jana Ahmed Abu Sitta. She wrote this in the aftermath of Tuesday morning's attacks. Quote, I don't know what time it is. I don't remember what day it is. I don't know what's happening. All I know is that I am now awake and the occupation's missiles are shaking the ground. I turn on my phone and look into the glow of the small screen. March 18th, 2025, 2 a.m. 5 minutes before I was in a deep sleep. Hours before my family and I had gathered for a meal at our home in Khan Yunis. Despite the sadness in Gaza, we have tried to make Ramadan nights beautiful. My mother was making tea on the stove and had gathered cookies for the family. Then we went to bed, dispersing around the house, each of us taking a corner to sleep in or to read until we fell asleep. But now I am awake, and I consider that perhaps the entire population of the Gaza Strip is also waking up at this very moment because the explosions are so loud. We are in a terrifying new reality. Minutes pass, and the sounds of bombardment get louder. Explosions continue, and I try to decipher how near they are. My little sister is also awake and crying, and I try to calm her down, but my own anxiety is unbearable. I am writing from a building near the Nasser Medical Complex. I am watching the ambulances and cars rush by in desperate attempts to save one soul from death. But I also sense that each ambulance carries one soul that is departing this earth. It has been a month since I smelled death in Gaza, but now it comes back to me with ease. I try to write about hope and strength, but the only voice I can channel now is one of horror inside me. We are good people with deep feelings. We dream of journeys other than displacement and living in something other than tents. We grieve when we bury our children, and we try to understand how death has become ordinary. How can a few people control the fate of another people? That's an excerpt from Jana Ahmed Abu Sitta's feature, The Smell of Death Returns in Gaza, on electronicintifada.net. Turning now to the occupied West Bank, where Israeli army raids and intensified settler colonial violence have continued in the northern region for 2 months and where nearly 70 Palestinians have been killed. The Electronic Intifada's associate editor, Tamara Nassar, reported that the Israeli army has uprooted around 85% of the streets of Jenin refugee camp in the north, according to the municipality's director. One quarter of the refugee camp's population has been forcibly displaced, the city's mayor said in a statement. Nearly 40,000 Palestinians have been forcibly displaced throughout Israel's ongoing military assault in the West Bank, with only 3,000 Palestinians returned to their homes. Francesca Albanese, the UN Special Rapporteur on the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip, said that, quote, "We are witnessing new trails of tears in the West Bank, mirroring Gaza's fate." She was referencing the forced expulsion between 1830 and 1850 by the United States government of tens of thousands of indigenous people from their homeland east of the Mississippi toward what became Oklahoma, leading to the deaths of thousands. Albanese warned that a mass ethnic cleansing campaign is underway as Israel uses the fog of war to advance its long-standing objective of seizing Palestinian land. Quote, "The world, meanwhile, is pretending not to see history repeating itself," she said. For more, read Tamara's report, "Israel's Settlement Policy is a War Crime, Says UN," on electronicintifada.net. Meanwhile, Israeli raids on the Al Ain refugee camp near the northern city of Nablus on Wednesday have displaced more than 80 families, according to the Palestinian news agency Wafa. Ibrahim Shatawi, deputy head of the Al Ain Camp Services Committee, told Wafa that the occupation forces were storming houses in the camp, conducting searches, checking civilians' IDs, forcing them to leave at gunpoint before turning the houses into military barracks. The gun-toting soldiers detained a number of Palestinians from the camp. Shatawi added that an unidentified number of displaced persons sought refuge with relatives in neighborhoods within the city and others in mosques as the occupation forces continued to conduct a three-day aggression, tightening their grip on the area. On Monday, the human rights group B'Tselem reported that masked Israeli settlers armed with clubs invaded the village of Susya in Masafer Yatta in the southern West Bank and began throwing stones at village residents who were herding sheep in the area. More residents gathered at the scene, including B'Tselem's field researcher Nasser Nawaja, who came to document the incident and call the police. In an attempt to defend themselves, the residents threw stones toward the attackers. During the incident, soldiers passed by in a civilian vehicle. They observed the event without intervening and continued driving. After about half an hour, a police officer arrived, allowed the settlers to leave, and detained Nawaja in a police car for about an hour. Two residents were injured by stones in the attack. "I went over to the officer and complained that they were letting the settlers escape," Nawaja said. "The officer ignored me, but I insisted. He said to me angrily, 'You're under arrest,' and put me in the police car. We have lost our sense of security and safety. We are judged for simply existing on our own land," he said. And finally, it was hard to do this week, but I did find one video I wanted to share of Palestinian children expressing joy, determination, and resilience. This short video shows children engaging in the simple act of playing, recorded by the Gaza City-based journalist Yahya Sobieh. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.